Ladies and gentlemen, please notice that exits are conveniently located at the front and rear of this auditorium. When leaving the theater, we suggest that the exit at the front...
Don't have now shows. We don't have a now showing. I just realized
we don't do a now showing. We don't do a thing. We just do hi. Oh my God, man.
Hi, I'm Mike Butler.
And I'm Mike Field. This is ridiculous.
And you're watching Forgotten Cinema Now Showing, where we're talking Godzilla X Kong.
Is that really the title? You have to say
is X. It's not. Is the X silent?
And? Why wouldn't it be and Kong? Because the last one was versus Kong.
Then it would have an ampersand or a plus sign. I don't know. Doesn't X mean and?
I know X gonna give it to you. Oh, yeah. DMX reference. Sorry.
I mean, this should really just be called Kong, the New Empire, for how little Godzilla is really in it.
Whoa. Okay. So welcome. Yes. Mike and I watched this movie last night in IMAX. I mean, it was loud. I don't know if it's tough because I've seen a ton of stuff in IMAX. So I never really, I've lost the wow of IMAX or the only time I ever really remember like, oh wow, that's awesome. Was Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol when the screen goes up as he steps out onto the side of the building. That's the only time that I really was like, yeah, all right, IMAX.
What about
and Tron, like in the beginning, yes.
Tron, when the city fills up at the end.
Yeah. Tron, you're talking about Tron Legacy.
Tron Legacy, yeah.
Right.
When we had the IMAX guy was going around from theater to theater, making sure that everyone's speakers didn't blow up because they were blowing up around the country.
Yeah. For those who don't know, I know we keep mentioning this, but Mike and I worked, we worked at the theater that we went to for quite some time, me much longer than Mike. And we kind of have a inside knowledge of like, you know, the stuff behind the scenes in terms of the IMAX and the theaters and stuff like that. So every once in a while, something kind of sparks our memory about like, you know, the stupid stuff that we had to deal with working at a movie theater and running a movie theater.
Sparks our PTSD.
Okay. So we are definitely both Godzilla fans. I know that just to give you a little background, not just Godzilla fans in terms of the new stuff, but the old stuff. Yeah. I'm talking Smog Monster, Godzilla. I'm talking like that kind of stuff. So like I grew up watching all that stuff on Pix11, even like Mighty Joe Young and all that stuff. So the King Kong and the Godzilla stuff. I loved all those monsters. I know Mike is the same. We're 10 years apart. So 10, 13 years apart. So, but Mike, you kind of still grew up on that stuff when you were younger, right?
PIX11, like watching Godzilla, 1985? On the PX11. That changed my life, man. But then all like the Sci-Fi Channel marathons and stuff. If there was ever a marathon, I'd always have my parents record it. We don't have this one. So I had them record over a series of time, like every Godzilla film. I was obsessed with Godzilla as a kid.
Mm-hmm. And so my comment all the time when those ones, the one that was in 1998. We did that in 1998, right?
Yeah, 98.
I always think 96 for some reason. With Matthew Broderick, and then even these new ones. Well, the only thing I always say when people are like, "Oh, you're going to see Godzilla? You're going to see this movie? Why?" And I'm like, "I just want to see monsters fight. That's all. I don't care about the people. I don't care about you know the kind of epiphanies they have when they watch these two giant creatures. I mean, I think it is pretty cool in." Which one was where he goes, let them fight? Like that part was that the first?
That was the first one.
I do like that, but other than that, I don't care about the humans in these type of films. I just want to see monsters fight. And in this movie, that's what we get. We get monsters fighting. We just get nonstop. And while it is at the, we can get into it. It is at the detriment to the plot, which is non-existent. I was all right with that.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I know we kind of bounce around kind of like what's good, what's bad, what we liked, what we didn't like. Let's definitely start off with, let's start off with what you liked. I kind of started off with something that I like, but what's something, I know you like the monsters fighting, but other than that, what else is something you liked in here?
I actually, as dumb as I thought he was going to be, I liked Diddy Kong. I liked that little monkey guy.
I don't think that's his name, but yes.
I don't know his name. I don't bother looking up. He's going to be Diddy Kong through the rest of this episode.
You like Diddy Kong being used as a weapon when he first
Oh, man. I loved that. But I do love how like it wasn't like an instant love story between Kong and this little baby monkey. Like he starts biting his fingers. He's fighting. But yeah, when he uses the kid as a club, I was all about it. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, that was good. He was
actually a surprising highlight. I really thought he was going to ruin the movie for me.
So you liked his general arc, his story arc of obviously, you know, not trusting Kong and then obviously Kong kind of takes him under his wing, even though he doesn't want to.
Right.
And then like his whole storyline where I guess that was his mother or father that the Scar King kicked one into the lava.
Yeah,
they didn't. I mean, I guess that's what you kind of have to infer. And then obviously he sides with Kong. So you enjoyed all of that. You thought that all played well for you.
I do. It was silly, obviously, but I think it played well. And it wasn't ever. There wasn't too much of him to make me annoyed that he was there. Like there was just enough of him to have him service the story.
Okay. Anything else? What else did you like? I'll give you one because you went on. Yeah. I'll give you one. After I just said I don't care about the people, I actually thought Dan Stevens was awesome in this film. Oh. And not just that he was really good, but his role, like it's a great role to have. That's like it because he's you know, he's a little off center. He can bring like, you know, the comedy. And he's definitely a full fleshed character, but still. There are many actors that get great roles and they don't really bring a lot to it. So I think, you know what I mean? Like, so I think that it's almost like Sam Rockwell when he's in a role, it's got that charm.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think Dan Stevens does the same thing here. And I like Dan Stevens as an actor. I haven't seen everything he's in. I don't know if you've ever seen the Will Ferrell, Rachel McAdams Netflix film where they're doing the song, big song competition, the Euro.
I haven't seen that. Is he in that?
You have to, you should see it. Cause Dan Stevens plays the Russian, entrant in that. And like the singer and stuff like that. The movie's pretty good. You really should see it. You and Elise would both like that. But he's really good in that. So I like Dan Stevens. I thought he had a really good role here. I thought he really nailed it. I thought like he knocked it out of the park. Probably I'm trying to think of the actor's name. I'm blanking on the name. David Strahan was good in the series. I'm thinking about the whole series of movies. Yeah, I liked his character's decent in this film. Who's the Asian actor? He's in Tokyo Vice. Who's the Asian actor?
Ken Watanabe?
Yes, that's it. I like him in this whole set of four or five films. But I think Dan Stevens is probably my favorite so far within these new set of Godzilla and Monster Universe and Kong. And I've yet to see the show on Apple, which I probably will soon. But I like Dan in this. Excuse me, Mr. Stevens.
No, I think Dan Stevens is really good. I actually think, you know, everyone's talking about like different contenders for Bond and stuff, but I think he'd be a decent contender. He was really good in the, there's a horror thriller movie where he's kind of
the guest.
Yes, The Guest. He's very good in The Guest. Mm-hmm. So between him playing like this goofy guy in Kong and playing that kind of hitman type character, I think he could probably play a decent James Bond.
He's also very good in Downton Abbey. I'm just going to throw that out there. That's where he kind of came from. Yeah, Matthew. Yeah, that's right. I watched Downton Abbey. I don't care. But yeah, so give me something else you liked.
I mean, it's a spoiler, but obviously if you're watching this, obviously we always give spoilers. I liked the surprise appearance of Mothra. I know it kind of breaks the story, but I haven't watched King of the Monsters in a while, although that's still my favorite, I think, of the sets of movies. So I don't really remember exactly how story breaking it is that Mothra is there, although there are more Mothra pods. I think they do mention that.
I'll tell you.
But I know you just watched it on TNT or whatever,
For those who don't know, and for those who do know, it's a real refresher. The Mothra lore is that there's always those two Japanese women. What is this? What is going
switching
on?
Switching to your clothes.
Yeah. It's they're twins, Japanese. They always they can talk with Mothra and they help Mothra get through things, I guess. And just kind of like not, I don't want to say control Mothra, but they basically can communicate with Mothra. And they're the keeper of Mothra and all that stuff and everything around her. And that's a whole family thing. Now that's in the original Godzilla, all the original lore. In Godzilla King of the Monsters, when they're on the ship, there's a conversation that's being had with a Japanese actress, and she's talking about how, oh, you know, Mothra, she's the one that talks about Mothra when they're not really sure about her. And then she talks about, oh, and she has photos at her station and it's her and her family. And then she's like, oh, my family before me, my mother before me, my grandmother, we know all about Mothra. So they kind of allude to that same lore in this set of movies. So to have now that the Iwi tribe, that this whole prophecy that someone from the Iwi tribe is the person that would awaken Mothra again and bring her back and blah blah blah, it's like, well, that I understand if you want to move away from the lore from a different set of, you know, Godzilla series, but this is in your own series of films, so now you're kind of just backtracking now, and it's I have to kind of like that has to be held accountable. You can't, you're changing, you know, it's like you're changing things that you set up already. So that's all. That's the only thing. Now, yes, it's cool that Mothra came back and it's great. Awesome. But it kind of, as soon as it came up, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what they said. And then it turned to you and you told me to shut up. So no, you know.
Well, I think I mentioned that there can be multiple Mothras, which I think they do say in that one as well. You know, Mothra comes back, dies, and new pod is there. It's not like, I guess, Godzilla and all the other Titans where it's, well, I guess Kong also comes from a family where, but a lot of the other Titans seem to have always existed.
So are we saying that Mothra is a sentient creature that shares their experiences and their memories and their life between the different versions of Mothra? Like, is the Mothra that we saw in this movie, the Sith, knows what happened in two movies ago?
Well, I don't want to get nerdy here, but it's thought that insects share genetic memory. So it won't remember what happened to the Mothra when it died, but it would remember whatever happened to whatever Mothra before it laid its eggs.
Okay. Well, you can't get nerdy, Mike, when you're already nerdy. So you're already there.
We're already talking about Godzilla and Kong. Sorry to get etymologist on you or whatever.
Well, give me something else then, since not that we're going negative, but just give me something else that kind of you're just kind of like, okay. You know, I mean, we generally like this film, but and so the things that we're talking about, I think we're giving it a pass.
I think,
well, give me something else that you give a pass.
The bad guy isn't strong enough, I don't think. If we're going a little negative, I think that the Scar King, he needs the big ice monster, which is in Anguirus, which really pissed me off. Like, come on. He looks exactly like him. Let's just call him Anguirus, get the rights to the other monsters. Let's go.
I thought that was like a female Godzilla. I thought that's what they were going for.
Yeah, similar spikes.
I thought that's what they were going for.
But like, you need the lizard, and it's easily beaten by Godzilla. Like the whole, like, Godzilla's charging up, it's World War III. This seemed the least difficult fight that they've had to fight in any of the movies. Like this fight just
at the end fight when they
the start end fight is just like.
When they're running after
them. The Scar King didn't have a chance. As soon as Godzilla got in the thing, like Kong almost beat the Scar King once at the beginning.
Right.
It's like once Godzilla got in there, I felt like there was, I mean, obviously they're going to win. It's a Godzilla Kong movie, but just like there's no stakes. There was no point in which I was like, oh, he's really got them on the ropes. No, Godzilla's absorbed like 80 billion nuclear bombs. He's ready to go.
Yeah. But I think that goes to my point of just fight. Let's just have monster fights.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
I just think they needed stronger than Louis from the Jungle Book. As soon as he appeared on the throne, all I could think of, I want to be like you.
What kind of ape is he supposed to be?
I have no idea. He looks like an emaciated orangutan because he's got those super long arms, but I don't know if he's actually supposed to be. Like all of Kong's people are obviously some sort of
Well, some of them weren't. Some of them were. So like the
some of them were more like Scar. Yeah,
of the Titans that were. I guess they're all considered Titans in that little pit. Which, you know, some of them were like looked like Kong, and some of them didn't. Some of them were just kind of like like almost like a gross. They reminded me of the hybrid human alien in Alien Resurrection at the end.
Oh yeah, kind of a little bit.
Yeah, just in the facial area. So yeah, and speaking while we're on that subject, can you explain to me what exactly they're doing in that pit, moving boulders and rocks? What are they doing?
At first I thought they were clearing the spaceway because it said that Godzilla collapsed the rocks all over the Scar King to keep him trapped in the volcano or whatever, so he couldn't get up to the real world. But they're just moving boulders around nowhere. They can go out into the forest. Like there's portals, there's other portals. Kong knows about a portal. You've been stuck there for a thousand years and you haven't found anything. Come on.
And when they wanted to leave,
they just left.
He hopped on the ice thing and they climbed out.
Yeah.
That was my other thing too, is how hollow is Earth?
So it's got like multiple levels.
It's so big that now we have a subterranean hollow area that we've never experienced. And it's just as huge. And when they were fighting, when they were chasing, when Kong first fights Scar King, which every time I say the name, I think Lion King. Anytime they were fighting and he escapes and they chase him, I had difficulty figuring out that, okay, they just left the subterranean level because he's trying to set them up. He's trying to get them trapped in that little section, because that's when Diddy Kong comes in and rips the rope and those apes die. I was like, okay, so he climbed out of that region. Like that's what I understood.
To even get to the region, all he did was jump down from his cave and walk forward. It wasn't really like they call it the subterranean region, but at no point did I feel like he was going that much
deeper. Yeah.
He was just kind of going a little further than he was.
I think it was just confused about the geography of everything.
They don't show how he gets into the cave. He just all of a sudden is in the Scar King's cave.
And then that same issue I had with the geography was when they get into the Iwi sanctuary area.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they're just all there and they just all showed up and I don't understand what's happening. And then there's giant crystals and that whole stuff was just, I mean, at that point I didn't care. They were fighting, the monsters were going at it. I was fine with that. I mean, I joked with you when we were talking about when we saw the trailer, and I always just laugh when they show the shot of them running. But in the movie, I'm just like, yeah, right, it works.
You've already watched Godzilla suplex Kong into a pyramid.
That was awesome. That was awesome. The fact that he did a wrestling move was fantastic. I mean, that's exactly. I loved that. I was like, oh yeah. But yeah, you're watching it, and at the same time, you're like, oh my god, this is so dumb. But then you're like, I love it. I don't care. Like it's
absolutely.
Who cares? Like that's, I almost think like the director, maybe he heard me telepathically, Adam Wingard. He was like, maybe he feels the same way I do. This is what I want. This is what I want to do. I just want to have them fight. Sure. He directed the last one and he directed The Guest as well, I believe. I'd have to double check that. But I'm pretty sure he's the producer. He directed it. So we just talked about that. So, I mean, he's proven right, brother, because I'm looking at the numbers right now and as of yesterday, and it did open internationally at the same time it opened here. Its budget was $135 million. It's already made $200 million.
Yeah.
So it's going to make.
Sorry, Ghostbusters.
No, I mean, listen.
They didn't stand a chance against Godzilla. They should have known that.
The Monster Universe, Monsters and Godzilla and King Kong are an internet, just like James Bond. They do well everywhere.
Look at Godzilla minus one.
We haven't seen that yet.
Still doesn't come out. Even in Japan, it doesn't come out till May. Like this thing, come on.
I'm surprised it's not back in theaters. Like it didn't just come back out again. Maybe it's too confusing because this is out. But yeah. I mean, they're gonna make another one. I don't know what the heck they're gonna do, but they're gonna make another one. I mean, it doesn't make sense not to
bring back Ghidra, Mecha Ghidra.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I always want to see Smog Monster again, but I mean, what's funny though,
you is could do Smog Monster because pollution is still a big deal, and you could that could be your theme.
It's always gonna be a big deal.
Exactly.
But the thing with that though is, and I want to get into the other monsters in this one, but the thing with the Smog Monster is that's always the one that scared me the most as a kid because the way it killed people, and right. I was just like, oh, but I still always the one I think about. I know it's got a different name. I always call it Smog Monster. It's called something else.
Right.
Hedra or Hedra. I never know.
I think you're right with Hedra.
Yeah.
Or something similar.
I want to ask you this because I don't know, as much as I love Godzilla, I never really just read up on a lot of the stuff. I just love watching the movies and right. I love watching the monster fights. So I don't know, other than Rodan and all the kind of like the mainstays, Mothra and stuff like that, that you always right. see. The ones that they were talking about in this movie that they showed, the crab one, the one that he goes to attacks, the Godzilla goes to get his radiation from, are those they just made up? Like, is that something that's in this world only?
They just made those up. I mean, the lizard, the eel that he kills, Tiamat, is, I think, an actual kind of, and I don't know what mythology, but it's actually one mythological monster, because Tiamat is also a big monster and similar looking in some of the Final Fantasy games. So I think that might be Japanese or Chinese mythology.
That's not the dragon from Shang-Chi in the Legend of the Ten Rings.
It might be the same. They might have named it the same thing. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe.
I know the name Tiamat is, I think, part of mythology somewhere.
Okay. So it's not so much in, you're saying it exists in other lore, but not old Godzilla.
It's not one of the Godzilla kaiju. I can't remember. I think his specific rogues gallery has a specific name of monster, but I can't remember what they call him.
Cool.
But yeah, I thought when you were talking about how they didn't have the rights to anybody, I thought you were mm-hmm. serious, like you knew, because that's what it seems like. Because they only use and Godzilla.
I read that I think when King of the Monsters came out, that they only were allowed to use certain creatures for some reason, whatever it is. I don't think they have the rights to every single monster that's ever appeared. That's why I said that. So, oh, you know what they could do, Butler? What was the old Godzilla one where it was the dude and he controlled the big giant robot?
Oh, and Ultraman? You want to get Ultraman in here?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, what else can we do here? Like, who else is he going to fight? He's going to fight another subterranean level in Hollow Earth?
There's Space Godzilla. I mean, at this point, you're already getting real cheesy, so you might as well. Mechagodzilla keeps on coming back. I actually wasn't a huge fan of Mechagodzilla in the last one. I thought he was kind of too clunky.
They didn't use him enough though. He appears and he does. That's it. It's one fight and done.
He was the reason to bring Godzilla and Kong together. Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe you get an alien Mechagodzilla who's a little more advanced.
Mechagodzilla.
There's a couple other monsters that are really cool. Like, there was a plant monster, Biollante. That's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. And then there was a monster in the last of like the main before Godzilla reboot with Godzilla 2000. There was like another monster that like was really. It might have actually been Biollante, but it might have been something else that kicked Godzilla's ass and killed him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So that might be.
I didn't see that one.
Anyway, well, he was kind of already dying. That movie was pretty good, where he's dying of like radiation sickness. So he's slowly actually melting down.
He just eats nuclear reactors in this one. So I also want to, I said this to you there when we were walking out of the theater, because the end of the movie takes place at Rio de Janeiro. And I said, turn to Butler at the end of the movie, go, Rio de Janeiro is no more. Like that place is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like not only there has, like, I'm not even counting the stuff that happened in France and the stuff that happened in Italy in this film, but in Rio, just on its own, there has to be like 2.5 million people that are dead, like just gone. And not only that, he blasts the entire coastline of Rio, all those hotels, like everything, just like in half. The ice monster just in half, and like it's just like this place is done. Like, it's just done. And the utter, like, could you imagine living in this world where these titans live, like, exists? Like, we now, like,
oh yeah,
look, we're podcasting and titans exist. And could you just imagine, like, just everything just must be ruins. Everything is in ruins.
That's why you got to get your Giganto insurance. It's the only insurance that covers Titan attacks.
I know. That's in the movie. I can't remember his name in the movie. Brian Tyler. What's the actor's name? Brian Tyree Henry. His character's name is Bernie. He's got a podcast and he's got a sponsor. And Butler and I are joking. Like, oh, he gets a sponsor. I really didn't. I mean, he's funny in the movie. I didn't care. I didn't really need him. He didn't need to be in the film, but it's fine. I know he's a carryover from the last.
Yeah, he's got some good stuff. He's got some good stuff with Dan Stevens.
Yeah, I think their stuff is good. I think that's why it works.
Right.
I think I was kind of glad that we kind of moved away from the Kyle Chandler, Millie Bobby Brown stuff from the last two.
Yeah, three? I feel like they were wrapping up in this last one as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just was I didn't care the whole her mother's whole.
I really liked that in the second Godzilla because I liked making the mother character a bad guy and she was never like redeemed. She was the villain. And that's kind of how it worked. And I thought that was a really cool plot point.
I was just kind of glad we didn't have to go through that again. Like there was nothing else to do.
It's kind of like how we talked about last week with Ghostbusters Afterlife. Like you've wrapped up those characters. You can continue the franchise. But now it's time to bring some new blood in. Now it's time to explore new characters within that world.
Right. Right. We can still keep going and I still can keep talking, but I did want to say one last thing that I liked, was cool about the music, the style of the music. Like when they did some of the montage stuff, I mean, I thought it's ridiculous how they get the glove for Kong,
his power glove.
and it's here and let's go get it, and they've gone into this like secret lair and he's like, yeah, no, I'm just gonna go fly back, I'll go grab it, and like goes gets it, and it's this and of course it's jet powered and it's automated and all that stuff. Like even though that whole area was destroyed, it's still everything. That thing is functional.
That thing, you know, and clearly another ship, because that's not his original vet ship.
No,
he only came in a small vehicle.
It's so like convenient. Again, I don't care. I like the movie. That scene works because I like the music. I like the song. It's almost like when Thor Ragnarok came out and they realized that everyone loved Guardians because they liked the music in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. And they're like, well, let's make Thor fun and happy and put music in here. It's almost like it's a little bit of that. It's a little bit, doesn't take itself so seriously, this film, which I think it works. So I was okay with that.
I think it's the only way to go. I read a comment that somebody said it's like the Showa era Godzilla film. So like Smog Monster, when Godzilla got the big bright eyes and he was more kid friendly. Like that's what this movie is. If King of the Monsters is more like old school Godzilla or newer school, like 1985 Godzilla, where he's kind of the bad guy, kind of sort of the bad guy. This movie is silly Godzilla just doing whatever. Like when I got home, Elise was like, how was the movie? I said, it was absolutely terrible. But I loved every second of it.
But
it was
good, amazing. Terrible. Yeah, no, no.
It was terrible in exactly the way it was supposed to be.
But that's what we both want. But when we're walking in, and I'm like, this better be like I want just a good bad movie. Give me this is the definition of what a B movie should be. It should be fun. I'm not here for any critical acclaim. I'm here to have fun and enjoy the and watch the monster fights and just laugh it a couple times. And that's what we get. You know, like it's a little refreshing because. So it's probably like the last 15, 20 years, a lot of these movies take themselves way too seriously.
Agreed.
But to be fair, there are some movies that take themselves way too seriously. And then there's some movies that take themselves are too over the top in terms of jokey and stuff like that.
Like Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yes. Yeah. Where it's just like, it's not fun. It becomes annoying. I think that another movie that falls into this, even though I do like Free Guy quite a bit, but I think Free Guy is a little bit better than this.
Free Guy,
it's not a B movie, but it's fun. I mean, other than Bad Boys 3, I do like Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2. And I was excited when we saw the Bad Boys 4 really trailer. No, I'm saying they're fun. They're
dumb. Yeah,
that's what I want. It's fun. But like 3 was not good. But I'm excited for 4. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm just kind of going. I'll start listing movies that I like, but I don't want to get too down that road.
Is this your favorite of the Godzillaverse movies or the Monsterverse movies?
Of these ones?
Because I still think I like King of the Monsters quite a bit more.
I think I'd have to watch them again. I do like King of the Monsters. King of the Monsters has some fun stuff with like the people in the ship. So yeah. I think some of that stuff is good. The storyline, the mother father family storyline, kind of just drags for me a little bit. So that's kind of like where I get a little annoyed in that.
See, I kind of like that, and I kind of like the darker kind of tone while you still get the monster fights. But like after Godzilla vs. Kong, this is the only way you could go. So I also like this fun. There's only two ways you can go. You can go King of the Monsters kind of darkness, or you can go this way. But I think both of them work. But I think I kind of lean more toward King of the Monsters.
We didn't have the time. That's why we didn't do a lead up for this. But maybe the next movie that comes out, if the next Godzilla film comes out and we're still up and running, which I'm sure we will, we could do a lead up for that. And then we could do all these again. But yeah, I probably do want to. I don't. My son's at the age where I don't know if he'll get scared watching them. So I'd like to watch them with him, but I don't know if he'll get too scared with them. So I have to kind of gauge that. But that's probably where I'll end up watching them with him again or something like that. What did I want to ask you? Oh, the one when we did the live watch, of the Godzilla 98, right. Is that out? Do we have that, or was that just
no? Because we just done. We had some people watch it on their own, and we talked about it on Discord.
Okay. Because
if we do that again, maybe we do it like a live stream.
Yeah, totally.
Where we film ourselves, we don't film the movie, obviously, because then we'll get down. But
yeah. I feel like if we did that, that might be cool. All right, sweet. I hope anyone watching this has seen the movie already, and I hope, you know, if you don't agree, that's cool. If you like it, awesome. I know we're admittedly biased Godzilla fans, so I think we were hopefully optimistic going in. I don't think we were expecting, you know, I think pretty easily we would have been like, oh, this stinks.
You're not going into Godzilla looking for an Oscar worthy film. Yeah, but if you're looking for a really fun time, like this is that. It's shut off your brain. It's a good length.
No, don't shut off your brain. I hate that phrase. Don't shut off your brain. You should always be
keep your brain open.
It's a B movie. It's a great, it's a good updated 2024 B movie. Yes. It's a great Sunday night film. This would be a good Saturday night movie to go to in the theaters when theaters were hopping. You know, you go there and then you go out to eat after, like stuff like that. It's a good one to watch at home on a Saturday night, like hang out with the family. Like it's one of those type of films. You know, and I think maybe because why we react this way to it is there's so very little of those that, you know, it's nice to see one, you know, so because there's a reason why I'm always rewatching stuff from the 80s and the 90s because older films I don't sometimes, you know, getting that fix, around here right now. But you know, yeah. So Mike, why don't you tell everybody, because these are not going to be these are not going to be for our now showings, are not going to be for the general audience. So why don't you explain that a little bit before we get out of here?
So our live streams were always supposed to be meant for the Patreon tiers only, some of the Patreon tiers. So we've been doing them kind of for everybody right now. So if you're watching this the next day when it comes out, when it's no longer live, but I'm going to say this anyway, you can watch them live up until I think we've decided Mad Max Furiosa. So the end of May. And after that, they're going to be just go to where they're supposed to be, Patreon only. We're letting you guys kind of test the water to see if you like our live streams. So if you want to continue on, that's where they're going to be. But we will continue to do now showings. They just won't be live for you, but they'll be put out afterward. But if you want to chat with us, watch us live, watch Field yell at me at the beginning of the episode like he did right there. That's going to be on those live streams that you can watch if you're a Patreon member after May. But we have a lot of content coming up as well. We're doing all the Planet of the Apes movies, going into Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I think our next now showing is League of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yes. So the week of April 22nd, we don't watch these on like that opening week and watch them on the Monday nights because there's nobody there. We don't like to watch them with people.
We're too used to watching them in empty theaters.
Exactly.
After work.
So you'll probably get the live stream on the 23rd, that Tuesday. And then what Mike's talking about, our next lead up series is the Planet of the Apes series, the new one. We're going to watch those three. Those will probably start filtering that week as well.
I think
leading up to the May 10th, live stream. Oh, the May, when it opens May 10th. So like you're thinking like May 13th, you'll have a live stream for us for the new Planet of the Apes, but that'll be after our, but the main podcast comes back.
Right.
Our first episode, May 1st, for season 17, we're doing Real Steel. So that'll be May 1st that the regular podcast show will come out. And obviously we're going to, that's going to be on video too. So it'll be on YouTube as well. And then in turn, but in turn, you were talking like Patreon stuff.
I was talking Patreon stuff only. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I just wanted to, but I was, I think I started getting into content with you.
Yeah. Sure.
But the big one, cause I know it's a, it's probably a big lead up series is in the summer when we do the Alien franchises before, up until Alien, forgetting it. Romulus.
Yep. Yeah. And that'll be all Patreon. So, all the lead ups will be Patreon.
And that'll be Alien.
It'll be right for everybody.
Prometheus, Alien vs. Predator. So we're going to be doing a butt ton of those. Like those are like seven or eight films. Yeah.
It's like 2 months of, 2 months of lead
up. Yeah. That's so, I mean, it's exciting. It's exciting to kind of go back. I mean, I always, they're on, I watch them. I mean, it's not like I don't watch them when
that's the thing that I like about the lead ups is we do Forgotten Cinema and it's forgotten films. That's cool. But like talking about Aliens is like, I know we said that's not what we wanted, but it's also pretty, it's kind of fun to, like you said, go back and talk about stuff.
And I do, I, for the lead up for Alien, I want to do the extended edition of Aliens. I
absolutely.
The longer one. Yeah.
If I, it's not, do I want the turret scene in there. The turret scene's off.
Yes. Yes.
You see the bullets counting down. You just hear the aliens screaming. That's awesome.
And for those who are not Patreon members, you can go to patreon.com/forgottencinema and you can see all the tiers there and you can sign up for whatever you want to do. And, you know, even though we're just talking about lead up series and we're talking about, you know, the live streams that are going to go there, I think sometime in the next 2 months are going to go behind those tiers. Mm-hmm. There are other stuff that we're going to do. There's other, Mike and I are always kicking ideas around about doing different things. You know, so we're, that content's going to keep going. That content's going to keep growing. And it's going to be all movie based, right, Mike?
All movie based.
Exactly.
Except for our baking show, which is going to be forgotten bacon.
Neither. I cannot bake. I will not bake. And that's not happening. So
I'll just have Elise bake and then I'll cheat and say, look what I made. But also we have our merch store as well. That's going to open probably by the end of this week. I've been working on it. So if you're a Patreon member, depending on what tier you are, you get tier-based coupons every season, and we're going to have seasonal merch. I'm going to re-release the Forgotten Horror merch from last season. So just put that out there until the new season starts. And we're going to have kind of limited runs on stuff that's kind of themed toward the season we're in. So that's kind of cool. And I'm sure Field and I'll be rocking Forgotten Cinema branded mugs when we get back in the studio.
Ooh, that's, which is, if as is, behind me in the dark, which the electrical was just put in this morning, Butler, and then the floor is being put in tomorrow.
Excellent.
So we're getting ever so closer to kind of getting all this stuff back on the wall. Some posters that we have that need to go on there. Some new stuff that needs to go on there. Some LED lights that hopefully I got to get to put in there. So we're kind of like sprucing all that up. It's going to be nice. So and this, well, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we do in terms of like the lead up, the stuff that's easy to do like at night like this,
right,
we'll still be like me from my house, Butler from his house, but when we start doing the main show, we'll try to do more stuff where we're actually in that studio together and it'll be a little bit more free will and yelling at each other, point fingers, you know, all that good stuff. And you can find us, we're on TikTok, Forgotten Cinema. We are on Instagram, Forgotten Cinema Pod, I believe, Forgotten_Cinema_Pod. We're on Facebook, Forgotten Cinema, and we have a group in Facebook called The Lobby that you can join that we kind of, you know, talk. And yes, as Butler says, I do want to say this. Don't forget to like and subscribe, but we have had to kind of, I've had to kind of get the Forgotten Cinema Apple show from Apple Podcasts to be on attached to my Apple ID, which is dumb. But I think we're going to lose the ratings and reviews there. So if you've rated and review our show before and you notice that there's none of the new one, please go back in there and rate and review. If you could, that'd be awesome. Obviously subscribe, follow us on Spotify. We're everywhere. We're all over the place. I think Mike and I have talked about this constantly, that we started out as a podcast in 2019. And then we ended in 2023 and we kind of like putzed around a little bit. And then when we were coming back for this, I think one of the things that Mike and I both agreed upon and both talked about a lot is that we're not just coming back as a podcast. We're coming back as a brand. We are Forgotten Cinema. You know, that's so everything we do is going to be focused around that. And we're pretty excited about it. As you can tell, I mean, we love talking film. We just kind of, you know, cheesed out over Godzilla for about a half hour. So, you know, so thanks for watching. Thanks for, I'm Mike, I don't know if you have anything else you want to add here, because I'm about to wrap it up.
Don't forget, if you're a Patreon member, we have our Discord as well, so that we can always talk movies. We got a, it's also about, it's not just a brand, it's a community as well. So,
oh, okay. All right, everyone. Thank you for watching. I'm Mike Field.
I'm Mike Butler.
And this has been Forgotten Cinema, now showing Godzilla and Kong, Butler. What is it? The Empire, the Final Empire, the Forgotten Empire?
The new Empire.
The New Empire. Sorry. I just see Godzilla and Kong, and I don't care what the subtitle is. Take care, guys.
Take care.